All right, welcome everyone to what Jesse has beautifully dubbed Mingles with Singles, or as we will now call it, Mingy Singy.
I didn't think we'd actually mention what we called it in the file.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was kind of fun, you know, because it's like, I don't know what like Mingy is, but like Singy sounds like, oh, we're going to sing. I don't know. Yeah. This is going to be very rough. Very minimal, if any, editing. And the reason we're doing this is we have a lot of stuff to get through with Fevers and Mirrors. Like, we finished recording it. What do you think? We said, like, during the podcast, we were like, oh, at least 4 hours, but we know that we were shooting on the low end there. I was gonna say six.
Like, there's no way we rolled for less than 6 hours, I gotta say.
Yeah. You know, and obviously that'll get trimmed down and everything. There's a lot of
stuff we need to edit out.
Yeah, a lot of trimming to do. So it's not going to be a 6 hour episode. Thank God for everyone involved. but obviously, with both of us kind of going full time with our respective responsibilities, it's a lot harder to edit a 6 hour time block than it is, you know, one of the, I'd say, shorter episodes, but they still end up being an hour and a half. You know, it's nothing to sneeze at. But real quick, since this is going to be like very minimally edited, I just want to shout out to our patrons, Goldie and Mom. What up? Hello. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
And I don't know, usually what we talk about, what we're going to talk about in the episode. And Jesse, why don't you talk about what we're going to talk about in the talking episode?
Yes. So in the talking section of the talking episode, so we were wrapping up Fevers and Mirrors, and we were kind of like digitally looking at each other with the 1,000-yard stare, and we're like, there's no way we're getting this. We're not even doing half of this episode edited down by Wednesday. Yeah. So
we finished on Sunday. So
yeah, for frame of reference.
Right. So this will, I mean, maybe even come out tomorrow, like Thursday, depending. I guess I shouldn't have said that, because now if it doesn't, I look like an idiot.
No, but basically, if anything, it proves our point of how helter-skelter this is going to be.
Yeah, right. So like literally 3 days from finishing recording to when it should have been released. But sorry, keep going.
No, it's all good. And so I threw out the idea of like, hey, why don't we just like pick some songs that we like, and instead of, you know, doing a full structured episode about like a Bright Eyes thing, why don't we just like, you know, shoot the shit for a little while and just talk about some songs we like. And then Chris had the great idea of like, oh, why don't
you're
we
welcome.
Do yeah oh yeah I mean honestly like my idea was dog shit and you just saved it.
So
he's like, hey, well, just, you know, log in using this like app that
sketchy
some Russian
thing
developers made. And it basically spits out like the top songs that you've listened to like in the past 4 weeks, the past 6 months, and like the past all time, something along those lines.
Yeah.
And so we gave each other our top two songs. For me, it was the tracks 2 and 3, because I'm sure to nobody's surprise, my top was Connor involved, and we didn't really want to touch that one. So
yeah.
Yeah, so I ended up picking my picks were by the same artist, though one is a cover. I don't know. Do we want to dive in and talk about our like whose tracks are whose?
Yeah. Why don't we do this? Like, why don't we each chat a little bit about them? Like, let's not go too far into it. And then you can give me your, then we can have the conversation about any, like each song. So like just a little short thing, like tell me a little bit about, let me reveal your song.
I'll
uncover the veil. So, the first one you sent me was by Raylan Baxter. Both of them are, and it was Strange American Dream. So tell me, Jesse, When did you start listening to dear old Rayland? Where did you hear about him? Like, how did he come onto your radar?
Rayland was a recent discovery of mine. I think maybe like 2 years ago, I first heard that song played on either like a Sirius XM like indie channel or like the local indie radio station. And that song, Strange American Dream, just like it's so catchy, and I just like the story that the lyrics tell so much that I just started playing it over and over and over again on Spotify. And actually something that I wanted to bring up real quick before we continue diving down, just for clarity of like why my Spotify list looked the way it did, because I still own an MP3 player. Like, I have a separate device other than my phone that I listen to music on. So like Bright Eyes and Connor Oberst very rarely appeared on the list because like I own all that music, so I don't need Spotify. So all of the artists and such that are on that list are all like artists that sadly I didn't buy their music, and so I'm just listening to their stuff on Spotify.
Well, you know, don't say it like too, you know, you still are supporting them in some way, right? It's not like, obviously I don't know the breakdown. I know Spotify doesn't have a great reputation in terms of how it pays its artists, but you know, you still are supporting them in a way, you know, in as minuscule as each play might be, hopefully it adds up over time.
Right. And hopefully maybe talking about it too in our New York Times approved podcast. Well, we'll give poor Raylan the boost he needs.
Actually, in our Amazon approved podcast, because we are officially on their new podcasting platform. So that's kind of cool. Mm. We're like early adopters. We're basically like zeitgeists in the podcast scene.
Oh my goodness, I can't imagine anybody doing this kind of thing. It's wild.
Yeah, first time, only time, because we are going to copyright the format of talking about Connor Oberst.
That's true. That's a very niche market we're cornering.
Yeah, it's going to suck for all those journalists and reviewers and everything like that. Like, oh, sorry, you can't talk about the new album. We actually hold the patent, so...
Yep,
you can tell I'm very well versed on patent law.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we did go to the copyright offices in New York City with the blueprint for our podcast, and so it's in black and white. Really, it's all there. And so I just wanted to clarify something. So, my song, Strange American Dream, was ignoring my top one. That was my second.
Yeah.
Why don't I introduce your second, your number two?
I've been sitting here waiting. So I would really appreciate. Come on, let's go.
I mean, I just want to luxuriate a little more in talking about the things that I enjoy. So.
Yeah, that's true. And real quick as well.
Yeah.
Your second song also, Rayland. That's Small World. I don't know. Maybe we should have saved it and done like number one, number two, number two. But
Let's like here, guys. This is how sloppy this is. So number two for me was Strange American Dream.
Yes,
and my number one we'll get to, which is also Rayland Baxter, but we'll get to it. And Chris's.
I mixed up the order.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's all good. Okay. No, it's all right. One, two, three. Did I make that joke last in the podcast listened to yet?
I think you did.
I'm sure.
I guess we're cutting it from that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't make the same joke twice. That's why we've only ever mentioned Panic at the Disco one time.
Exactly. Because we'll never mention it again. Chris's number two. Is Young and Happy by Hopalong. So do you want to talk a little bit about why you think this is like your number two?
Honestly, I fell asleep one time and it just played over. No, so I can't even stand it. So actually, that's a joke, but the first time I heard Hopalong was with you.
Yeah,
we saw Connor. and Hopalong opened. And I remember, I think it was my brother who like said he wasn't really, you know, he wasn't a fan. I could be misquoting him. And
No. You're not misquoting him. That was me. Because I had mixed up. For some reason, I read Hopalong and I thought like Hot Chip. And I'm like,
eat Hot Chip and lie, right?
Do you know
that meme?
No, I don't.
Oh, it's like,
wait, girls... are you making a joke or something? I don't know.
No, yeah, hold on. Girls born after... Yeah, hold on. Let me find it real quick. It's like the greatest tweet of all time. any female born after 1993 can't cook. All they know is McDonald's, charge their phone, twerk, be bisexual, eat hot chip, and lie.
Okay. What madman wrote that?
It's I just Google it. Eat hot chip and lie. Do your own research. I know your meme. Yeah. Oh god.
Oh,
all
my
they
god.
Know is McDonald's, charge their phone, twerk, be bisexual, eat hot chip and lie. I mean, that sounds like a good life.
It yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with it.
but yeah, so I guess it was you who said that, and you mixed them up with a Hot Chip, apparently,
or some other band. Like, and I just had this bad connotation. Like, I'm not too hot on these guys, and so everyone was kind of going along with my bad hot take.
Right. Yeah. So I wasn't totally paying attention, and I have to admit, I do have a tendency of not really paying attention to opening bands when I go to shows. I love to go to shows, but I'm really bad where I really try to focus on the main act.
This time we were really proven wrong if that's us,
yeah,
you know, doing the shitty thing and not paying attention to the opening act.
Yeah, for sure. I sometimes look back and I'm like, dang, I kind of wish I could have gotten into them sooner.
Mm.
But they, yeah, so they opened and wasn't fully paying attention. And I think this was when I first started using Spotify again. So probably 3-ish years ago is when I dabbled in it for a little while back in like 2014, 2015, but then went your route. I still would like download, buy music, that kind of stuff. And I decided to give Spotify another shot. And I was listening to one of their radios, I guess. Yeah, that's what they're called. It was like radio playlists. Like, that's not how they're called. So
you listen to their Pandora.
Yeah, I listened to Spotify's Pandora, and Hopalong came on. I was like, oh, like this kind of slaps. So I think that was around the time Bark Your Head Off Dog came out.
Yeah.
So I got into that. But when going through Get Disowned, instantly just drawn to Young and Happy. I won't say too much more. I'll leave it for when we actually talk about it. But yeah, so that's how I found him. And then from there, I was obsessive. It was actually my number one played for a very, very long time. It got dethroned maybe a couple of months ago. So for a solid let's say 3 years, Young and Happy had been my most played song on Spotify. And
oh, wow.
Again, you know, that comes with the caveat that you had mentioned in terms of, you know, listening to other things.
And using Spotify for... Yeah, yeah.
Right. You know, you make this list from 2008 or whatever, or, you know, 2004, and I'm a young kid. Of course, there's going to be some Bright Eye song at the top. But in terms of like my repetitive listening now, the list looks very different.
Yeah. I think before we started recording, I mentioned like, if I still used my like iPod Classic and could sync it with iTunes and get like the tally of how many times I've listened to given songs, like might be a little embarrassing. I might have to like scrub that information. And thankfully, I don't think any of my MP3 players like track that kind of shit. So.
Now I want to, like, I really want to see if I can recover my old Last.fm profile or see if somehow, some way iTunes has tracked that data for my same iTunes account from back in the day. But that's probably something for another time.
There'll be another episode where we, like, geek out about an album for way too long and have to have to stall for time while we edit.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know who wants to go. Like, whose song are we talking about first? Would you like me to flip a coin? Call it in the air.
Tails.
All right, so Tails is your song first, okay?
All right,
you're cool. Gonna have to trust me. I'm not turning on my camera. I'm not wearing pants right now.
No, that's fine. I was about to say, like, you could have like run your fingernail across your desk and be like, yeah, that was the coin. That was the coin that I picked up. Like, yep.
Well, I don't know if you're happy or sad, but it was Tails. This is actually, a little lucky. This is a Nebraska quarter.
Oh, look at that.
So you are imbued with the power of Connor Oberst.
Does the front of that quarter have Connor's face on it? I feel like it does.
Yes, I'm pretty sure Connor Oberst was a slave-owning president of the United States of America, so that seems to fit. That was a joke. Please do not sue me for slander.
Yeah, because we're also not editing this, so, you know, it has to stay in. I can't remove
that. Yeah.
We gotta go with it.
Yeah, good. Anyway, I'm starting with Strange American Dream. So what we're doing is we shared these songs with each other, and gave each other a chance to like listen to them. Obviously it's not going to be as in depth as one of our Bright Eyes things, because I'll spend weeks kind of looking at some of that stuff, or, you know, multiple days at least. Whereas had a very busy day. I did give both a couple of listens while looking at the lyrics.
Yeah, same. But this is much crunching for the test in a way.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So maybe going to be a little bit more surface level, but as a child screams in the background
you guys get to hear all the children screaming in my apartment and like the potential horns that are going to honk on the outside. So
true.
So it's going
to
be
some
great.
Of the stuff that we're used to editing out.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
But I forgot what I was gonna say before. I'll just get back on. Okay, so Strange American Dream. So I looked up Raylan Baxter. It took me about four tries to find the right person, because I was like, did he say Raymond? Was it with an O? So I found him, and I was like, okay, which album is it on? And I saw the album cover, and I was like, okay, well, it can't be this one, because that's clearly like, did he make the soundtrack for the movie Her? Like, it looked like Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so this is like the movie soundtrack. And so I looked at some others. I was like, God damn it. It's on the Her soundtrack, isn't it? And obviously, you know.
Oh my God.
I mean, okay, so the album is called Wide Awake, Raylan Baxter. Look it up on whatever, your computer, your phone. Tell me that doesn't look like the cover for Her.
Spoilers, he's completely correct.
Yeah, thank you. You know, what is this hipster shit? No, I'm kidding. So I found it opening track, and it was pretty solid, man. I feel like he obviously has a much more classically good voice than Connor. That's what I'll say. You know, like, if we're talking about ranking it in terms of a universal scale, or what people would generally say, like, oh, a nice voice, like, he's got a very nice voice. But I would say musically, it reminds me, like, that could have come from like Outer South, maybe a little bit poppier, which is why I say Outer South.
No, I agree with that. That's a pretty fair assessment.
Yeah, and it's like a pretty cool Americana kind of ballad. And I mean, that's what I'll say for now. I'll give you a chance if you have anything to interject before I talk a little bit about like the lyrics and stuff that stood out to me.
I guess I'll only jump in and say, like, I get the Outer South comparison, and I would even get like maybe this was like a lost Felice brother.
Okay.
I'm a little surprised that the Felice Brothers didn't jump on the list, because I've definitely listened to a ton of Felice Brother albums on Spotify.
Right.
But yeah, I would definitely... He definitely has like a very classically nice sounding voice. A little Jim James kind of as well. A little My Morning Jacket, I would get the vibes from there too. But I'm curious what you think of the lyrics and the song itself.
Well, actually, one more thing before there is like I noticed too, like I always compare anything in that style. I can't help but compare it to something that Connor has done, right?
Because right.
I would say like Americana I think Connor has tried to distance himself a bit from that label. But I would say like I wasn't hugely into it. And then I listened to some of, you know, Connor's music and really some of the Bright Eyes stuff too that fits. And it like pushed me a little bit into that edge and like kind of opened the door for me to enjoy that genre. So it's hard for me though to listen to something like that without comparing it to him in context, which is sort of unfair because I feel like it's a losing battle for anything I listen to. Like, oh, well, it's not a Conor Oberst song, even though on its own it stands alone as like a very good song. It's like, oh, man, I wish Connor was singing this.
Right.
So it's very unfair for me to put on people like, oh, so what? You're not my favorite musician of all time? What gives? Like, that's, you're awful, man.
Yo, man, get good.
Get good, seriously. And I don't know. There was one other point I was going to bring up, but I lost it. And therefore, it doesn't seem all that important. And maybe it'll come back to me. And usually this is the part in the podcast where we stop and we're like, oh, hold on, give me like 8 minutes. I'm going to jog back everything we just said for the last half hour.
And then you get the idea. And then we're like, okay, wait, what was the last thing you said?
Right. Oh, man. Oh, it's a fun process. But yeah, so I mean, this is a song that fits in with that anti-capitalist. Really more so just like broader, I'd say, American culture in terms of, you know, spend, buy, image, and like that sort of thing. I mean, Strange American Dream, the title already says it all. This kind of perversion of the American dream of, you know, work hard and you'll be rich too, which we know is obviously not the case because of inequality in opportunity and you know, various things that we do not have time to get into, but you know, trust me.
We could get into it for quite a while.
Yeah, right. I mean, from the get-go too, maybe the whole gang is better off making money out fighting a war. You know, the fact that we do make money as a country off of war, so much so that we may have started a few intentionally because we are a weapons manufacturer. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, our military makes money, or, you know, arms companies make money off of wars, off of that violence. And it already from the first verse, getting into some pretty heavy stuff, which obviously would not be everybody's cup of tea. But for us, and I think for probably many fans of Connor, if you're into his solo work, if you're into Desaparecidos, etc., probably fits right in with what you're into.
Yeah, and I would say too, like, even I think if you're not a careful listener of the song, you could get swept up in its poppiness. I mean, this is a reason why I played this song so many times. It's just so fun. Like, just that piano going fucking nuts, just mm-hmm. like rolling through that song is super fun to follow.
A little flair, a little curtsy and smile.
It's a fun little ditty, if I may say.
It's a ditty. It's a bop. So the chorus, though, now the whole world is wired up on the red, white, and green, and all the boys and girls are growing up in a strange American dream. And again, as I mentioned, there's the perversion of the American dream, as well as, he mentions the flag, it's out of the red, white, and blue. It's red, white, and green, which I'm assuming to be money, right? It is so baked into the American psyche that money is... Oh my God, I hit my space bar and Spotify was at full volume and just started playing in my ears and it shattered my eardrums.
Oh,
anyway,
oh dear.
Yeah, that was nice. So, right, it's so ingrained in the American psyche that it's pretty much baked into the flag at this point. It might as well not be blue, red, white, and green, but also maybe he's talking about the Mexican or the Italian flag. He's not.
I was gonna say, I don't know how to proceed from here because Chris is going to the cork board and he's got the strings all set up. Like, I'm gonna blow this whole thing wide open.
Yeah, you know, really what he's saying is when he talks about the red, white, and green, he's talking about Mexico and how they're growing up in a strange American dream. He's clearly saying that he wants to build the wall. No, I don't even want to say that as a joke. Yeah. Anyway, more pasta for everyone. I'm just mixing up Mexico and Italy, but you know,
they all make very good. They make great carbs. I think we can agree that both countries make great carbs.
We you know, this is Mingy Singy. We like to get a little silly. We like to make some off color jokes.
Yeah, of course, and some unedited problematic jokes that are gonna come back and bite us in the ass one day. It'll be great.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure sarcasm is a shield by which nothing can get by, because everyone knows if you say something sarcastically or as a joke, basically you have carte blanche to say whatever you want. You know, I'm not racist, but is a perfect excuse to say something racist.
We freeze frame and lower our sunglasses and wink at the camera.
Oh, God. This is, you know... talk about a strange American dream. We are this way because of this goddamn country.
Yeah, it might be. It might have had a hand in
our development.
In our development as human beings.
Oh, God.
Hey, when you were a little kid, did you draw dinosaurs fighting wars?
No. I don't think so. I think... I was more of a, I think I would have played with dinosaur toys and probably made them fight. I know you were joking, but now I'm like actually answering the question. Yeah, I probably would grab toys and make them fight, but maybe not draw. I never had the skill, had the talent, you know? next question in the interview, please.
Your childhood notebook right here, Chris, and clearly you're a liar.
I actually, so on that point, so a line from the song. So he also says after that too, like behind the doors, I reinforce with red, yellow, and green. And what I think is he's maybe talking about like a Bob Marley poster or something like that, or you know, because I feel like that is so iconic in what was American counterculture, which has really kind of been whitewashed at this point, but just like a Marley poster in saying like peace and love and, you know, just want people to be happy and not get caught up in the rat race, in the whatever. So when he says behind those doors, I reinforce with red, yellow, and green, like that was my first thought, is maybe he's saying like he had a Marley poster on his wall or something like that, something indicative of that very laid back lifestyle that we associate with Rastafari or like Jamaican culture.
Yeah, totally. That's where I went as well. It's like that little like refuse in the whole song that's just very, for all its poppiness, very bleak and sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do have one last point, and so I don't know if you did mention the song that was technically your number one that we're not talking about.
The strictly avoiding, yeah.
That we're avoiding. So I'm not going to say what it is, but I am going to leave a hint.
Yes.
Something that you and I will get, but the audience will have to become Charlie from It's Always Sunny and try to connect the dots. So
I'm ready for you just to say the name of the song and just
did you figure it out?
Did you get it? Wink.
So in the second verse, so temperatures rise and all the water tastes like blood, which I think is a really, really powerful way to say kind of like iron and just like impurities in water.
Yeah.
Iron and blood and like that metallic water places like Flint, which is just become the I guess poster child for like, hey, do something, fix our water.
Let us drink water, please.
Yeah, right. It would be nice. So then he says, look at all of the sensitive people screaming from the yards and my neighbor down the street with a pretty face and a rubber jaw has plenty to eat, but she don't share nothing at all. And I feel like that is very much kind of fits with some of the themes in that secret song that we're talking about. Because I get a very, I'm out for myself, but I'm putting on the face that I care. Kind of like a white liberal slacktivist kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, perfect. I don't even want to say any more on that point because I feel like you very artfully, I know exactly what talking about. And I know just going to like stumble over it and be like, oh yeah, and it reminds me of like that this one specific thing from the song that'll give it away.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the I was gonna say like not they're not hip hop heads but like Connor heads, you know what I mean, like the diehards,
the
people with the canology degree will get that for sure. That's my guess.
Yeah,
anyway,
I 100% I get that, and I also like I'm gonna plus it and say that just like there's also like a bit of that voyeurism in both this song and the mystery song of like, you know, people like sticking their noses in places that, you know, for good intentions or bad, like it doesn't really do anything. Talking back to your like slacktivism,
right?
Like weekend warrior kind of. Yeah, I think weekend warrior really, really sums it up.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But yeah, it's an enjoyable song. One that I would not be surprised if it ended up on a playlist or something like that for me.
Nice.
Wow, awesome. Jesse. I very appreciate you sharing that. And actually, something that I remembered. So the other song, and I won't mention the title yet, but the album that it was on, I was like, I feel like I recognize this album cover.
Yeah.
And I went back, Jesse and I have a Discord server that we used to, you know, send songs back and forth to each other. You would use that to send songs back and forth to each other. And the song that your other song that we'll talk about, this is not the secret Connor one, but one we'll talk about later in the podcast. You had sent me that one. So I did respond whenever you sent it, but I'm going to save that for when we talk about that.
Oh, okay. I'm like, I was tempted to like open up the Discord chat and see what it was, but I'm going to let, I've forgotten what you said. So I'll let myself be surprised all over again.
Well, so Jesse, why don't we talk about my number two song now? And then we'll do our number ones after that.
Yeah. Sounds good. All right. So I almost paused like, okay, we're going to cut and we're going to start a new track. I forgot like, oh wait, we're rolling live here.
We're going through.
So we've got Young and Happy by Hop Along. And so I want to say a few things before I let you kind of like jump in and plus or minus whatever I have to say. But
okay,
something that I really love about I haven't done too much research on the band, but I assume that Francis Quinlan does the writing of these songs.
I believe she does, yes.
And I am so profoundly moved at all of her songs and how intricate of a story that she can tell in such a short... There's the motorcycle. You guys are getting it live. How much of an intricate story she can tell in such a small amount of time. And it's rivaled for me only by folks like Tim Kasher in like this. You get this like really, really detailed history in one song, and it's super, super impressive. But like sonically, it reminds me of older Bright Eyes in its like loudness and
yeah,
it's like garage rock kind of way. And it was a really fun song. And like my relationship with Hop Along was really just I sort of live in Bark Your Head Off Dog. Okay. And now I really want to go back and listen to some of their older stuff.
I will say this. Some of their music is a little tough in terms of like there are enjoyable things, but it's very experimental, right? Mm. Where not everything is going to sound traditionally like a song that you're used to hearing. Like this song is very much it's, you know, verse with a chorus and it's loud and it's fun. But they have other ones that feel like they lack a tempo, lack a speed, which could be up the alley for some people, but for others, they may be turned off by that. And I also really enjoy Francis's vocal style
because
she lets it all out, right? I don't think she obviously has a great voice, but I don't think she spends a lot of time saying like, oh, I'm going to make this as beautiful as possible. I think she just sings the way she feels it, which I think has an ascendant layer of beauty on top of it.
Can we call it like method singing?
Yeah.
Right? Like it's very heart on your sleeve. And I don't mean that in a pejorative way. I think it, like you're saying, it's only to the benefit of her voice, I think.
Yeah. And real quick, like I remember listening to, I was in the car with my mom. I was listening to this song and the song that comes after it, which is Get Disowned. Eponymous, right?
Yes.
Eponymous, is that how it's pronounced? Yeah. Basically the title track.
Or the titular. That way. The titular.
Titular. Ooh. Sorry, we have the 18 plus. We're allowed to say tit.
Okay, good. Awesome.
And at the end of Get Disowned, she starts like shrieking and screaming. And I remember, you know, I don't blame my mom. She was like, can you turn this off? Like she wasn't into it. And I was like, oh, I think it's really cool. But it just goes to show it's not necessarily up everybody's alley. But yeah, sorry to take us off on that tangent.
No. And I get that as well. I mean, like I can even this song, which from the bouncing around I did from the album, while I was there, I figured I'd explore the neighborhood, you know? Like this is refined even for like the other songs that surround it. And even then, like, I'm not going to say that at points her voice sounds bad in like the same way I would never say that Connor's voice is bad, but there's definitely that level of unrefinedness as well as that
raw,
like the raw method singing that, you know, Connor uses and still doesn't shy away from. But yeah, I mean, I still think her voice is amazing, and I still think she's an amazing lyricist. So yeah, I mean, I have a couple of notes if you don't mind me diving in for this one.
I actually do mind. So if we could just skip to the next one, that would be.
Oh, yeah, yikes! I keep making these mistakes, man. I don't know why I keep doing these things wrong. Hey, folks in the comments, can you just in painstaking detail tell me everything I did wrong this whole episode?
Yeah, I think that would be very helpful for
I know I made a joke, but that's probably not good for my mental health. Okay, so I did I did really like, and I don't know whether it's a theme of the album, because the title Get Disowned sounds very much like, and the art of like that looking up at the sky through trees, I assume that mm-hmm. is what we're looking at on that album. The fact that we're introduced to this car that is uninsured, and like it, like the car knows how to get someplace, is
right.
This
yeah.
this weird and wonderful image of like of animism, and being like, instead of being one with the earth, being one with like shit that you love. Right, like, yeah, I'm sure everyone yeah, yeah. has the connection with like physical objects, where it's like it doesn't even have to have monetary value, but like you, it's almost a person in your life because it's just been with you for so long, and you treasure it so much. And just this, it's just a really interesting, sad story about like people who grow up and get hurt, and then go on to just continue that cycle. So where is the line?
Did
I delete it? Did I mistype the line? Cause I copy these from, oh, here it is. Then the day came where I had to tell you a lie. It was to protect you. And that's another lie.
Yeah.
Like that was that like the gut shot right there of like, of people kind of screwing each other over about like, I can see someone we love hitched a ride to Minneapolis. It aged him too soon. So it's somebody, I guess, who moved and had to like grow up away from home, away from people that they loved. Someone I never told you, I turned my back on. Now I think she hates me, to be a child and easily forgiven. And so like that flips it on its head. Like, you've hurt someone, but maybe it's like, oh, you're too young to understand this, you'll forgive me anyway. Or like, you're a kid, so I don't mind you being angry at me.
It's, right.
And
yeah.
and that exact attitude leads to that person from Minneapolis who like mm-hmm. was probably given that same attitude of not being taken seriously, and you know, maybe not having their feelings validated. And
I also,
yeah, yeah, oh, sorry. Go on.
I was gonna say, also, like, right after that, that line, I've done my fair share to weaken the envied innocent.
The envied innocent.
Yeah, like, and just like, I've made mistakes, I've screwed people over that if they're innocent, you know, you're thinking that they don't necessarily deserve to. But it's also like kind of an empathetic line, because it's like, I've done that too. Like, you're not necessarily proud of yourself that you did that, but it's also a reminder that, like, hey, we all kind of fuck up, right?
Right.
We all kind of have messed people up in our lives.
We all become our own monsters in the end.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that the line that keeps repeating, like, being young and happy is just, like, one of the most scathing things to keep repeated throughout the song. Because it's just, you know, when I first read the title of the track and it has this exclamation mark, I don't know why I flubbed that. So exclamation mark, it preps you for something. I don't know, maybe a little more jaunty, a little like maybe wistful, but not this bitter. And I think that perfectly. Yeah, I don't know. Something about the fact that the song is punctuated drives it
right.
Because then you go back and you're like, ah, this was a very angry song.
Yeah, and I do. You know, the one part maybe I want to contest a little bit too, because I think this comes down with the subjective way that we'll listen to songs, but. I guess, and this could be one of those things where I've listened to the song and I've taken the pieces that I want out of it and left the stuff that doesn't fit this narrative, right?
Sure, sure.
But whenever I listen to it, like, this is it's almost like a pump-up song for me.
Okay.
It's like, I think a lot of that obviously has to do with, like, the fast, raucous, kind of, like, get your blood flowing music. But whenever I hear, like, at least with you, I got to be young and happy.
Yeah, I was going to touch on that line. But I'm okay. Sorry, go on.
Sorry, I thought that that's what you were talking about when you were mentioning the title and young and happy. But I guess I almost always end up seeing this song as, like, everything. Yeah, I screwed up, but these were the best years of my life kind of thing. And I'm glad. Don't smile because it's over. Or it's I fucked it up. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened.
Right.
I'll write that in your yearbook, Jesse.
Yeah, please do.
But sorry, go ahead. I must have stolen your thunder.
No. No, it's all good. I was thinking too fast of how I can like, can we market like Connor's basement yearbooks?
No, I don't think so.
No,
it would just be our faces in there, and I don't think anybody wants that.
And now I'm trying to think way too hard for the line about the yearbook in Salutations.
There's a yearbook on the bookshelf that can't explain the years.
Well, I never should have signed it. But you know, summer's coming soon.
Summer's coming soon.
We weren't supposed to talk about Connor this episode.
Oh shoot.
So
but I do want to thank you, like when I almost drowned, you gave me mouth to mouth outside my neighbor's pool. But I do have something to admit. I wasn't drowning and I just wanted you to perform mouth to mouth.
Yeah, I was wondering why you gave so much tongue during that whole process. it was my first time resuscitating someone. I didn't know whether I was doing it right or not, but
oh, trust me, you did it right.
So, no, I am in agreement with you as far as the point. I think for the most part, I read the "With You I Got to Be Young and Happy" as sort of begrudging and angry, but the ending I think kind of clinches it as far as like, sort of that resignation of like, almost like a duty to somebody else. To like try to, what? Did you laugh at duty? Did you seriously laugh at duty? Tell me you were laughing at something else.
A duty.
Jesus Christ, Christ.
28 years old, by the way.
All right. Somebody has an obligation to not be the person who cuts down that envied innocent, mm-hmm. which I thought was really interesting. And I don't know whether this the location of Savannah, Georgia plays in like Hopalong's history, or if there's a larger story of the album. But I do find it interesting how it starts with like a car that kind of psychically knows to go to this place. And then it ends with this very cryptic, like something is happening and people are kind of willing to either look the other way or have that same attitude about, you know, this kid as like what this speaker is describing. At least that's how mm-hmm. I interpreted those lines. So I thought it was an interesting, like, kind of, it's the second to last stanza, if you don't count the last line of "With you, I gotta be young and happy." So it feels very bookendy to me.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, it is a great song. It's a great song to pop in on a long drive. You know what I mean? Like this is a song that, which I guess kind of fits a little bit with the theme, obviously, or like, you know, with the story rather that's being told. But it really does feel to me like it's summer, windows rolled down, and you know, you're driving somewhere and you just got the music cranked, man.
I get it. I like me a good raucous, loud song with the windows rolled down on a summer day. We've definitely had that car ride before, back when we could be 6 feet within each other's presence.
I mean, shoot. I'm pretty sure your car didn't even have windows, technically.
I don't think, yeah, at times it didn't have a roof.
Yeah. It's not as glamorous as he makes it sound. It's not like he was driving a Porsche or anything like that.
But, no, I mean, you know. It was an old freighter truck that somebody drove on the wrong highway. And so, like, yep. When they went under the tunnel, it, like, ripped the top off of this freighter truck. So I bought the front end of the truck, and so it was open end, like top open, wide sky all up above, a little bit of broken glass, but like,
right,
the price was right.
We had some good times in that Jeep. That I should probably just end the sentence there and leave people guessing.
yeah, they'll never get that.
But no, I remember, like, we definitely shared a lot of music back and forth, like, driving, going places, whatever. I kind of specifically remember, okay, I can't believe I remember this. I think it was super late. We went to McDonald's, or at least I wanted McDonald's, because I'm a junk food eater, and I feel like you were just like, okay, fine, I'll take you there.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a time where I was, I'm a little more open to junk food now than I was, just because, you know, I've gotten old and tired and lazy. So
yeah, just, like, life just, has broken you down.
Life has definitely pounded me into the dust, so.
I think this was the college years, though, so I think it's kind of when I must have come back to visit. And I showed you Law Dispute,
because
right? I was trying to tell you, like, look, I know, like, the screaming might not be your thing, but lyrically, man, trust me. And we'll definitely get into, if we do continue this as a series, we'll definitely get into some Law Dispute stuff.
I remember you prepped it as like, hey, listen, I know that you don't sing or play an instrument, but like, this is how I imagine your music would be.
Yeah.
And then you played it. I'm like, you know what? I can't argue with you.
Like, Law Dispute, you like,
honestly,
can...
that's high praise. I know I kind of sounded flippant and sarcastic. I'm saying it is high praise, what Chris
said.
Yeah.
Well, basically, because, like, if nothing else, you could read a majority of their songs just as a poem, and it would still have as much weight. So you don't even have to like the kind of post-hardcore genre. And they've kind of softened up album by album. You don't even need to like the genre. And you can just read the words for what they are if you're into poetry, because it did start as kind of like, it is a spoken word type thing. And it did start as like the lead singer was a short story writer and a poet. And his friends were like, hey, do you want to join a band? So it's like, okay, sure. Why not? Yeah. But this isn't the Law Dispute podcast. So I don't know. Did you have anything else for Hopalong?
No, I just, I definitely, thanks to this recommendation, I definitely want to dig deeper into their older stuff. And I'll take with me the grain of salt that, like, it might not sound as polished as this, but that's a risk I'm willing to take. I'm willing to you know, dive down their experimental stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, off that album, Tibetan Pop Stars is definitely the biggest one. You may have heard it before.
That's one I see on like the on their like top singles on the Spotify page. I see that one often. I don't know if I ever gave it the time of day though.
It is very good. I personally prefer Young and Happy. I mean, Tibetan Pop Stars is still one of my most played songs, but hasn't hit that same heights. And it's on the Genius page, but I remember seeing NPR had put out a list of like the best songs by female non-binary artists in the 21st century, and Tibetan Pop Stars made the list.
Nice.
It's a great freaking song. Anyway, so why don't we hop along over to your what we're calling most played track, but technically is your second most played.
Indeed, because we can't share the name of my number one.
Right. So, as we get the drum roll and we start to unveil the song.
Can I get a goddamn timpani roll? Tonight!
You forgot to start this goddamn song.
I'm not a real fan. Actually, while we're here, I made an Instagram post where I shared like a cocktail I made that was Conor Oberst inspired.
You did.
Which is really just, I just took the lyrics of a song and made the cocktail. I made an old fashioned with a splash of Grand Marnier. I called it the Conor. But I accidentally said, can I get a goddamn drum roll? And I'm surprised no one called me out for, maybe they did, and I'm just bad at social media.
Maybe.
It's very possible, but I hope y'all enjoyed that.
I can't believe you. Actually, I feel disgusted right now. You know, we better move along.
That's par for the course, though.
Yeah, true. That's true. You are a pig. Anyway, so let's see. Okay, so it was over a year ago. So September 15th, 2019.
All right, I'm going to jump over to the chat and slowly scroll to it.
Jesse shared Small World by Rayland Baxter, which is, at the time you didn't tell me this, but it's a cover of a Mac Miller song. And my response was, I dig it. Sounds like coffee shop music in a really good way. Ha ha.
Oh, yeah, you did say that.
Yeah, and I do still find that true. It is like coffee shop 100%. Music. Yeah, but you know, again, with the context now of it being a cover, it does make sense. And perhaps I should have listened to the Mac Miller version to get some context in terms of what change. You know, obviously, I would assume that there's quite a stylistic change, but like, what's the difference? Is the original like really fast, and this is kind of like a slow, jazzy kind of, you're at a coffee shop with live music, and this guy that looks like Joaquin Phoenix and Her walks up on stage and starts playing a little bluesy tune. I said jazz before and I said blues now, which are distinct genres. Do not crucify me for that. Anyway, it's kind of interesting because after you sent me that, I don't know if you were familiar, as in yesterday, not
in 2019.
So are you familiar with Adam Neely, the YouTuber?
I feel like the name is super familiar.
Yeah, he does a lot of music theory kind of stuff, and he's very popular. It's not just like super gritty music theory. I mean, he obviously gets into some pretty complex stuff like way over my head. But he does a good job of bringing it to a common audience, right? Makes it super interesting.
So I thought I was really clever, and I watched this YouTube video about like a breakdown of The Girl from Ipanema. And I'm like, oh, Chris would actually really dig this. And I sent it to you, and you're like, yeah, I know about this guy already. You schmuck. You absolute pleb.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot you did send that to me. Yeah. So that's why the name sounds familiar.
Right, right.
That was a really cool video. Anyway, so yesterday he released a freaking video called Rap Cover Songs Don't Exist, and Here's Why. And So, I mean, it's obviously – let me backtrack a little bit. So the video is not saying that people do not cover rap songs.
Right.
That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that – rappers don't cover other rappers, You have he brings someone in. I think he says a doctoral student at NYU that's kind of giving a lot of the info. So it's more so like you don't hear Kanye West covering Snoop Dogg or someone like that allowed. Right? You know, it's quote unquote not allowed.
It's like if a poet went to like a bookshop and decided like, oh, I'm going to cover Emily Dickinson. Like, no, you're just reading her poetry. Like, I can kind of see that, as opposed to like, maybe you get a little more leeway when it's like more of a, like a song in the traditional sense and not necessarily rap, which I always equate to poetry.
Right. But he does make mention of the fact that you do have people that read other poets' work. Obviously, it's because, you know, the poet is dead.
For the record, I haven't watched this, so I didn't. I made that analogy without knowing he went there.
Well, because I think what you're saying is you would never try to say, like,
I'm doing a cover of
a Robert Frost piece. It's like, you know, if you're reading it, it's because, you know, Robert Frost isn't alive. Although I think there is a recording of him in the thing reading one of his works, one of his poems. But, you know, if you wanted something more modern, something with clear audio, things like that, you're going to have to record it new or, you know, however it might be. But yeah, you would never like publish a poetry book and just print Robert Frost's words and say Robert Frost cover on there. But yeah, like, so you do have people that cover other rock musicians and things like that. Or you have, and what he mentions is like, there's a huge swath of YouTubers who will just cover rap music with an acoustic guitar, right? And not necessarily that it's a bad thing that they do that, but it seems to be the only way that people generally cover a lot of rap music is white dude acoustic guitar raps while playing something on there. So I'm not equating this song to someone who just like set up a microphone, played acoustic guitar cover to a song off Kendrick's Damn or something like that. But because this is very transformative, I would say, right? Because it is a full band sort of, it's a full band effort. And I noticed that the lyrics don't fully, I mean, they line up, but he takes some slight liberties, like some of the ad-libs in the background are removed. And I think I did notice a specific line, if I could try to find it, that he does change from the original as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna also do the same.
It was also kind of funny though hearing him say "She say that I glow below the waist,
yeah.
And the stroke is just so PGA." And there's something about someone with like the swagger of someone like Mac Miller saying that, because it's like on brand. It's expected in terms of the genre, and you know, and someone like Mac Miller. But I don't know too much about Raylan Baxter, but from what I gather, I don't think he's ever written a song where he's like, "Ah, oh, yes, and the stroke is so PGA." Which, no, if you don't know what he, oh, sorry,
no,
if you don't know what he means, a stroke is a medical condition. No,
I was waiting for the joke.
Yeah, is during intercourse. Generally,
but not always,
one or more parties may be moving their hips back and forth, and that is a stroke, if you will.
What they call it, a thrust.
A thrust, a pump, if you will. Yeah, very, very funny to hear it.
Yeah, way. I think it does have that. It is kind of funny because I find in a lot of rap there is like a good amount of humor. And
yeah.
But this is one of those lines where, like, because it was taken out of its context and like performed by air quotes the wrong person, the humor is from a different source. Like,
yeah,
like exactly what you just said. I think and that did, the first time I heard it, I was like, because I was not well versed in Mac Miller's music before I listened to this cover album.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard that line, that was my first hint of like, this is probably not, Raylan Baxter writing the song. That was like my first big brain moment. Where like, something is amiss.
Yeah, so I'm sorry, is it, this entire album is like a Mac Miller cover album?
It's a whole Mac Miller cover album.
Okay, that's interesting.
Part of the proceeds, I think, went to like fighting substance abuse. So it's a very purposeful album. That, okay. Like, it's trying to do something, I suppose.
Right. And, you know, and R.I.P. Mac Miller, he covered Lua. I think he covered another Bright Eyes song,
too. First Day of My Life, I think he covered.
First Day of My Life, you know. Yeah, kind of the basics, if you'll. No, I've... it's definitely kind of cool because seeing really, I mean, more popular musicians cover Bright Eyes' work is very jarring. It's something that I think I'm unnecessarily protective over.
I feel like the same way.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's healthy, but...
Like when Lorde covered Ladder Song.
Yeah.
And then obviously she had to alter the lyrics because it was used in a motion picture, and like maybe the direct reference to Jesus and Buddha might have been a little much, but you know, it was like, I actually really liked that cover until that. I wish they would have recorded at least one more version where like she kept the actual lyrics, and you know, the theatrical one was for like when they played in the movie or whatever.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
You know, not knocking Lorde. I like Lorde, but look how she massacred my boy.
Damn hipster. Yeah, so it is always kind of strange to hear people kind of cover his stuff. I think actually too, something vague is sampled on a Lil Peep song. Which I never really listened to Lil Peep, but I did notice that, and it's there. It's you can definitely hear it in terms of its sample. The song's not bad. It's not totally for me. It fits in that kind of like emo rap genre, which I think we actually talked about but cut.
It's hard to remember what we end up cutting.
But definitely an interesting trend. And then, sorry, I'm going off on tangent after tangent, but First Day of My Life is sampled on Young Thug's a Young Thug song, which, hold on.
Oh, can you send that to me? I'd be curious to hear that.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I'm also a huge, huge Young Thug fan. You're going to hear my keyboard typing. Got that mechanical, baby. Mirror Us. It's a sweet song. And apparently, this is all on the Genius page, but they were in the studio and First Day of My Life came on. I don't know if someone specifically played it or just popped on. And he was just like, I want to use that. Like, I like
that. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, because Beautiful Thugger Girls, the album, was meant to be a country rap album.
Specifically. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so it really did kind of fit. But anyway,
not to continue this tangent, but like, fuck it.
Oh,
this
is, let's this, do it.
This is an Mingy off episode, Singy, anyway. Bro. Should I say what my name is in the recording, or are we gonna?
No,
because it sounds like it could vaguely be something naughty.
Yeah.
We'll let the viewers, the listeners, decide for themselves what that might be. Like, I'm actually, I don't know if you know, I would be very surprised if Lover I Don't Have to Love isn't sampled in some way. Because I feel like it is primed to be rapped over.
Yeah, I feel that for sure. I don't know of any songs that do. Because like for example, Me or Us, whenever I heard that when I was listening to the album, instantly, I was like, I recognize this. You know what I mean?
Right, because
that chord progression is just burned into my memory. But I don't know if I've ever heard something where I've been like, Lover I Don't Have to Love. Because like this example always comes up, but Look at Miss Ohio, Jillian Welch, has the same chord progression as Something Vague, which is kind of funny because they're like they're friends. I think they're friends, or at least that they've played music together. So I don't know like who inspired who, or it's not that crazy of a chord progression. I could very well see like an influence there without straight up like, oh, I'm going to steal this. And when I say steal in a musical sense, I don't mean like in a malicious way.
Right, right, right. Like
pretty much all music is stealing from somewhere. All art.
Yeah, is stealing. I was going to plus that like there is nothing new under the sun. And I think a lot of people look at that as a bad thing, and it's not. I think it's a nice thing that there's nothing new under the sun. It just means you get to do something special with it.
Did you know I recently learned that Romeo and Juliet is not technically an original work?
Oh, Shakespeare was a horrible plagiarist. Well, and again, like air quotes plagiarist.
Right.
I like to think of Shakespeare as like the Walt Disney of his time, where like so many Disney movies are just like, these are folk tales and other stories that are ageless, but like the Disney company repackaged in a really, really marketable and appealing way. So that like when you think of Mulan, you don't think of like an ancient, you know, Chinese epic poem. you instead think of, you know, Eddie Murphy as a little baby dragon.
Right, with some problematic ways of
problematic representation of other
which
cultures.
Is, you know, kind of par for the course for I'd say both Disney and anything made in the 90s. But,
fair.
We're growing, we're learning. I like that comparison, the Walt Disney of his time. I think I learned that fact in a Sarah Z or a Sarah Z video.
Which, interesting.
Good YouTuber.
Yeah, I like Sarah Zed.
I hate saying Zed though. Me too.
You know what? Like I get you're allowed to say things how you want to say them, but like I would like to bust the balls of people who say Zed, and I'm like, wait, what does Zed mean? And they're like, Z. It means the letter Z. So it's like, all right, then say Z.
It's like the tiniest things. Like, I'll have friends that like type color with a U. I'm like, oh, get that out of here, okay? The only U belongs in USA.
Hey, I'm New Yorker. I gotta save time. I'm not putting no fucking U in my color.
It's funny because I'm absolutely not a patriotic person at all. Only U is in USA.
Only U is in USA. It's good. I like it. We should put that on a red hat.
Yeah. Oh, God.
We could cut that.
I'm going to start, like, dreading the next couple of months. Oh, God.
Anyway, okay, let's move
dumb
on.
Dumb and Dumber 2020.
Okay,
yeah, we're cutting that. Anyway, so...
We're all going to die.
I do... So this song, it's definitely a lot of fun. It's a very certain vibe. And so when I say this, I don't take it as a criticism, but I find this is one that I feel would be less for like a general playlist of, I have a playlist called, Songs I Heard I Don't Want to Forget.
Mm.
And I could see this fitting in there of like, cause it's like a hodgepodge of different random, like, oh, I like that. It came up on a Daily Mix or something like that. So I'm always getting something new, something different. There's not something like necessarily stylistic the same happening.
Mm.
Whereas I don't know how many of my specific, like I have a playlist called Feeling Sorry for Yourself Official Soundtrack. And so like, does this fit on there? Like, not really. Like, it has kind of a low vibe, but it's not necessarily a I'm feeling sorry for myself vibe. So I think I'd have trouble fitting it to one of my specific playlists. But if I was doing something more macro and just like, oh, I want to shuffle a bunch of things I like, I could see this kind of fitting in there. It is more niche, I guess. I could have said that and avoided the last 2 minutes of me rambling.
No, but that's what we're here for. This is what the people want. This is what the people are paying for, using their time and their attention in this attention economy.
Yeah, that's fair.
No, I get that. And I think something about the song that I would definitely put this under, like, if I were to make a playlist, and I'm not I can't be this clever right now. But like, if I were to make a playlist of like sad songs that are actually like stealth happy songs, I would, mm-hmm. this would add it. This and a lot of Mac Miller songs, I think, would just make that list. Because like, right. there's just, you know, it's melancholy in a way. Like it's, there's a lot of things that are happy about it, but there's a lot of tragedy in the song, I guess. And I've got a new mantra. Like since I started listening to the song, my new mantra has been win or lose, I don't keep count, nobody's checking. Like it's such it's like, I love that line. Cause it's yeah. Like most of the time you're the only one who gives a shit. You're the only one who's keeping score. So why are you doing it? Like win or lose, don't keep count. No one's checking that shit.
So yeah, I mean, a fantastic song, definitely a lot of great nuggets, to store like a Pokemon backpack, and just go see the trainer or sorry, the old man, back in Pallet Town, and, go get your missing no and, copy those nuggets 99 times. Yeah. I've went there.
I was really
a
like
Pokemon reference.
So I really appreciate just the level to which you committed to the bit, because for a
Thank
second
you.
I'm just like,
I wasn't gonna stop.
I was so baffled, like what, where are you going with this? And it's like, oh yep 90s kid, we get it, we got this one.
Yeah, you that's how you get 99 master balls or 99 nuggets. Why not, if you want to make some cash?
Yeah. And that's how you get the special, the HHM strength, which is the hidden machine strength. And that's the only yeah. thing you can use to push the truck out of the way so that you can reveal Mew underneath the truck to catch.
You can also just like cheat Mew into your game. It's not a big deal, Jesse. You make it sound, you think you're so cool because you have some dumb way of doing it? No, it's a dumb way. Dummy.
Well, actually, I did it. I used the glitch the right way.
I used the glitch in the right way. All right, we're moving on. Bad segue by me. Bad reference. Bad everything.
You know, this whole thing, it's so bad, it's giving me a dang headache.
Oh, fuck.
Oh.
I'm
my.
Out. I'm out, guys.
Is this the segue? Because guess what? Chris's number one song is Headache by Grouper.
I hate you.
I thought that's where you were going with it. I was just vamping with you, man.
This whole thing is giving me a dang headache.
Giving me a dang that ass thing. Headache. Dang old headache.
Oh, all right. That's beautiful. All right. Yeah, Headache by Grouper. Ask me your question. I'm not going to say it unprompted, so. Jesse, hello?
I don't know what... sorry, genuinely...
The
like,
fans are waiting right now.
I'm so,
ask me a question. AMA. Grouper headache.
Yeah, so...
AMA.
Chris, I don't know what you're doing right now.
Ask me anything. What do you want to know?
I want to know, why is this song your essence?
Why is this song my essence? So I don't know if I don't think I mentioned this.
Oh,
but
no, I'm being a shithead and I'm ignoring the obvious answer, which is, why is this costume weighing me down? Is that what you're doing?
Now I'm gonna go silent for a little bit.
I honestly don't. I'm so dropping the ball that I have no
you
idea.
You can't tell what's a bit and what's serious right now.
I'm reality is just melting at the moment.
I am playing you like a fiddle. You are so lost and I'm so in control right now. It is everything I've always wanted.
I have my checkbook out right now. I'll say any number. Just tell me what's going on.
Just tell me what's going on.
I'll make
on.
It out to cash. Just tell me. Show me the right way home.
Oh my god. Anyway, so
guys, it's been a long day.
Yeah, right. So this song was very new to the scene for me. I can't remember if I mentioned this before or if it was a little bit or earlier in the podcast or if we were chatting a little bit before. But just a quick I guess, recap. So this was a newer song for me that came onto the scene. Young and Happy was my number one for many years. And then I heard Headache by Grouper on, I believe, a Daily Mix. And I just, oh my God, I fell in love. So I am a big, big fan of ambient, drone-y, and shoegaze music, which is a very, you know, like, oh God, do you want to split genre hairs? And like, shoegaze was a term I found when my favorite band in high school, E for Explosion, or I guess before then, Jameson Parker, same musician. And he described his music under E for Explosion as shoegaze, which is exactly what it sounds like. So if you were sitting on a subway and you were staring at your shoes, that's the soundtrack of what we were playing. And so whenever I heard it, I was, it has become just a very, like, a song that I'll listen to before I go to sleep kind of thing, because it is very calming, but it's also very haunting, right? It's very eerie.
Yeah, it is. And I back when I was very lost and I didn't know what we were doing, when I asked that question, like, why is the song your essence? I mean this in a very loving way, that like, as soon as I put this song on, I'm like, if somebody had just like thrown this on somewhere, I would have like, yeah, this is a Chris song. I need to show this to Chris. Like, not only sonically, like, that there's this very long, drawn out, like, very melancholy, ambient experience, but also, like, the lyrics are just, they're very, very simple and deep. Mm-hmm. And I know that might sound like a bit of a contradiction, but it's just, like, this is a sparse song lyrically. There is really not much complexity in the words. Everything is very straightforward. And yet there is so much, there's just like so much emotion and so much you could unpack from this that I find very curious.
And now I guess that why is this song your essence makes sense, because when you asked it before, I thought you were asking me like, why do you love this song so much? But now when you phrase it that way, like, yeah, like this is the kind of stuff when I used to attempt to make music, like this is the kind of stuff I gravitated towards, like very slow, drawn out. I never was gifted lyrically, I'd say. But whenever I was writing music, I was definitely drawn towards that ambient space, which it comes from that influence from E for Explosion. But yeah, it was just like when I heard this, the same reaction you had. I was like, I want 100 more songs like this, and I want a playlist of that to listen to day in and day out
on my desk by noon, Parker.
Yeah, right. I sometimes I wish Spotify was smart enough for that. Was it like when you hit like song radio, it's like, oh, people also listen to this band, so we're gonna throw on a song by them. I'm like, no, I want you to boil down this song and then like sprinkle it on top of a bunch of other songs, and I want that. I want pizza, but then I also want pasta, and I like spaghetti, and I want ziti. And I want,
lasagna?
Lasagna, thank you. I want all the same ingredients, just arranged in a different way. I want my carbs, I want my sauce, yep. And I want my cheese.
Yeah. Which, like, full circle, we can, like, Mexican food, we can say the same thing. Like, oh, it's three base ingredients that just, like, depending on how you mix them up, just make a beautiful, unique thing for each different dish. It's like poetry. Yeah. It rhymes.
Beautiful. Yeah. So if you have anything to bring out about the song, go ahead. If not, I have tons I can say.
I mean, I'll just say some of the lines that jumped out at me, and this is going to be a little challenging because it's not like I have a wide selection of pickings.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, we can touch why is this costume weighing me down, like later on. I'm sure you'll have something to say about it. But I find it really interesting, like, the writing lines down on the back of your hand. I think the first mention of lines in the back of my hand is the first time that it's mentioned, it doesn't refer to them as being like written lines. It's merely introduced as they are just lines on the back of my hand. And my first thought is, you know, back when schools were barbaric, and maybe in certain other places they still do this, but like if you did something wrong, you would have the back of your hand slapped with like a ruler or some thin cane. So like the idea of somebody like sort of like scrutinizing like the thin slashes on the back of the hand because like, oop, you did something, you did a bad thing, or you made a mistake and you got punished. Comparing that then to, you know, why does love keep letting me down? Then we get to the line of like, write the lines with the back of my hand. Why does love keep letting me down? And it just is that then like, is that writing on the back of the hand, or is it I'm using the blood, the cuts of the back of my hand to write something? It's just it's very simple, but I could spend a lot of time like unpacking it and try to like get to like the cryptic meaning of it.
Right. Yeah. This is definitely one of, dude, there is a freaking mosquito somehow that got into my room, and it's so distracting because it's just like gravitating towards the computer screen because, like, you know, it's a freaking bug. But I'm literally trying to catch it as I'm speaking.
You know, the ironic part, Chris, is that you are as equally drawn to that screen as the insect.
Holy fuck, you're right. Oh no, we're not so different, you and I. God, I also leech off of people. Anyway, I can't remember the prompt you started me with, but... it is all so very sparse, and I think there are a million different ways. It's one of those songs that you can then fill up with whatever you want, right? Because there's a certain vibe, there's a certain atmosphere that the song creates, and it is obviously a pained song, I'll say, kind of tragic, but it's also, it's very thoughtful. You know, you're lost in thought, which I think is great because that's exactly what that kind of music does. It's almost like a backdrop, to allow you to fill it with your thoughts. And for me, yes, the why is the costume weighing me down line, but I love the opening line too. My mother once told me she walked into the ocean, didn't want to die, just couldn't tell where the horizon was. It's an anecdote. You can barely even call it a story, right? It's a passing thought, like, oh yeah. My mom once told me she walked into the ocean. Oh, she didn't want to die or anything. She just couldn't tell where the horizon was.
I mean,
but
I
there
was,
is
oh,
like
sorry.
A sorry, yeah, real quick. But there's like a sinister undertone to it. You know what I mean? Like this could be a very honest story, and like as you're saying it, you like kind of want to backtrack it because you just realized, like, oh, I probably shouldn't tell someone that because maybe there was something else and I didn't notice. Look quick, is it something you missed?
and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to almost cut you off there. But I think we went to similar places where, like, it has a very like fable or bedtime story feel to it. Like, mm-hmm. she walked into the ocean just to find where the horizon was. And it sounds really innocent. And like what you're saying, almost like backtracking because you're having this horrifying realization that maybe the opposite is true. Maybe that could be like a mother's very playful way of explaining a dark moment. Like, mm-hmm. maybe the intention was to walk to her doom, but then when having second thoughts or being unsuccessful, coming back and saying, oh, don't worry, I was just looking for the horizon, right? Like, right. something like, yeah. a platitude to not worry your child.
And I think too, like, what's so interesting about that, I'm sure, like, because of how, I'm going to use the word sparse again, the lyrics are, there are so many other different ways that someone else could interpret this. Not like that's not true for more dense lyrics, but the more information you give, the closer you converge to a single point. And because there's so little, it's so open to interpretation, which is, oh God, I can't explain how beautiful it is for me. And then that line that you'd mentioned earlier too, why is this costume weighing me down? And I almost, because it comes right after that line, I think it kind of fits into what we're talking about of that subversion of, oh, I thought it was this way and I'm realizing it might've been the other way. You know, cause the word costume in and of itself is indicative of that. But I think of that facade that you give when you like want people to think it's okay. So you just like, oh, it's not a big deal. I'm just tired. Or like, oh yeah, no, I'm fine. It's been a long day. You know, things like that. It's very much a costume to pretend that things are going all right because you don't want to get into it. And then at a certain point, you wonder, is this maybe more work than just being honest and being myself? It's starting to weigh you down, and you just, what's the answer? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that there's an interesting, like, so as calming and I almost. Okay, I'll just say it because, you know, we're unscripted, so I'm allowed to make mistakes now. As like calming and almost droning as the song is, there is this undercurrent of, and it's
get it,
yeah, because we walked into the ocean. There is an undercurrent of just exhaustion. And
yes,
like, because yeah. Why is this costume weighing me down? And
my head hurts.
My head hurts. But also the interesting repeated line of tear the sails down, because right. that is kind of the opposite imagery. Well, okay, it's not exactly opposite imagery, because like, why is this costume tearing me down? And so the natural response to that is, if the costume's weighing you down, well, take the costume off. But the sails are something that propel you. So your yeah. head hurts, and I'm presuming because of the exhaustion of the fatigue of wearing the costume. So tear down the sails? Like, it's almost like this speaker, this character, is missing the point of what's ailing them. And instead of taking off the thing that's dragging them down, they instead want to tear down the thing that would push them forward.
Yeah.
If my interpretation's almost on point.
Yeah, I totally see where you're coming from. And it's like that conflict is what leads to that headache. Is like, I want it to be this way, but you know, this is how I'm going to deal with it. And I don't know trying to rest and I don't want to get up, right? That's one of the lines later, like laying down and now your head just hurts because you are just inundated with all these thoughts and ideas and you don't know the right thing to do. It's very interesting. And I think maybe not specifically, right? Because when we talk about music, and we're always try to be very careful that we're talking about characters, we never want to attribute something to the artist unless they've like specifically said so. But apparently, so the name Grouper comes from, I feel like I want to look this up because I don't want to mess it up, but I believe she was, her family was part of a cult, and the, when she was younger. Yeah. And I should definitely look this up real quick before.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's okay that you like gave it your best shot, and then we can just like fact check as we're like vamping.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. Okay. So I did double check. So not a cult, but a commune, and I.
I mean, you could argue that there's
right.
I mean, I'm not saying all communes are necessarily bad, but it definitely, like, you hear that and you're like, pulling your collar.
There's a Venn diagram there that intersects.
yeah, exactly.
And you know, so not every commune is a cult. Not every cult, but probably every cult is a commune. I guess you could say in some way. So like a square and a rectangle sort of thing.
Right.
But apparently the community was known as the Group, and the kids called themselves and their parents Groupers.
Oh, so, that's delightfully dark.
Right. So the name comes from that experience of her childhood and growing up. And so, you know, I'm not saying anything about, what was her relationship with her mother like? You know, she mentions her mother in the song. What about her father? I'm not going into that kind of thing.
I do have a theory about that, though, but we'll get there in a second.
Sure. Yeah. But I do think it's interesting to then look at some of these songs through the lens of, you know, that is a very, very different childhood than I guess what I'll say is a typical American, like probably suburban, and you go to a public school and maybe are introduced to a wide variety of ways of life, and you pick and choose like what and all that kind of thing. So it's very interesting. Like, I wonder what a parental relationship looks like in that. And I'm not trying to say like, it's inherently abnormal. She's clearly messed up because of this. But it's also wrong to deny the fact that these are different environments, and there's so much context, which is true. There's as much difference between me and someone who, let's say, grew up in Tennessee as there probably is me and Liz Harris, who is the artist behind Grouper. You know what I mean? There's much of a difference there, and it would be wrong to deny that difference exists.
Right? Yeah, and to plus what you're saying, it's also the difference between, like, even though you and that person from Tennessee have a completely different outlook on life and like had a different childhood experience and achieved adulthood in different ways, somebody who grows up in that like commune community, I could imagine what somebody from Tennessee growing up might be like, just by virtue of
stereotype.
Stereotyping, which is true, and culture, yeah. not culture, yeah. Sorry, and fiction, like I can, mm-hmm. and like I know you're not being facetious there, but yeah, I can take the general idea of like, you know, out west or middle America, and based on what I've seen in television and movies and the news, like I can piece together what I imagine your life to be. Just like, you know, anybody who's seen Hey Arnold can kind of imagine what it's like to live up, like grow up in an urban setting, right?
Yeah, right.
It's not completely accurate, but it's also not completely false at the same time. And so, but like, what does a grouper look like? I couldn't even fucking begin. And so that must be an alienating experience to like not have your story really be told until, I assume, you're writing it as the band, I think, is probably trying to do.
You know what's kind of You know what's kind of funny too is you, when you said alien, because she does have an album titled AIA : Alien Observer.
Oh, interesting.
Which is a set, like there's one album called AIA Dream Loss, and I'm not sure what the AIA stands for, and the other one is Alien Observer.
Interesting.
So I don't know. I just kind of thought of that. It was kind of funny. They just mentioned it. But yeah, I don't know. This is a song that, like I said, it was climbing up my list, and I'm not surprised it made it to number one. But I don't think I predicted just how much it would end up
stealing,
I guess,
the lead.
Meaning to me. Yeah, and stealing the lead.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I mean both are true. I've tried to pick up the vinyl for it, but it was a very limited. I want to say like a 500. 500 were pressed, and it's an A and a B side. I'm a Headache, this song, and then I'm Clean Now. And so it's just two songs, and this sells for about $90 to $100. It's her most played song, and so you could tell like it's very impactful. The people who've heard it feel very strongly about it, because if you're willing to spend $100 on a two song album, I haven't even spent that much on a Bright Eyes record.
Right. Right.
You know, and I have a couple on my list that are very expensive that I haven't decided to bite the bullet on yet, but I've heavily considered buying this multiple times because experiencing this on vinyl and through like the big speakers and everything, it transcendent. I can only imagine.
Oh man. Like I now start to think like, does my top list kind of look like a cop out? Like Chris is number one. Oh, this song is just so emotionally engaging, and it's just like a reflection of who I am. My top song, it's a Mac Miller cover that I didn't at first know was a Mac Miller cover, and I think it's just a neat song.
I see what you mean, and maybe what we should do then going forward is like, why don't we choose songs that are in like emotionally engaging? Because rather than using like our top ones on Spotify, because right. You know, for me, because Spotify at this point is my primary like music service in general, it definitely is more reflective of the stuff that I've listened to in the past, let's say like 3 to 4 years, and what's very important to me. Whereas clearly it's, you know, not that you're saying like, oh, I wish it wasn't Rayland or whatever.
Right.
It lacks some of that like deep, deep connection.
Yeah, and it's also not to say that like I don't have an emotional connection to that song.
Yeah, sorry,
also,
yeah, yeah.
But it's also, I don't have as strong of a connection as that as. Yeah, I was just making a little quip. I don't mean to go like that deep into it, but
no, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I okay. So I did want to say one more thing that on the topic of Headache, right? So my mother once told me she walked into the ocean. Didn't want to die, just couldn't tell where the horizon was. Okay, but I noticed that there's no mention of a father. But perhaps my father took me into the city to see a marching band. I think there's a connection here. I think what, canonically.
What did he say? What did he say? He
said, son, when you grow up, would you be the savior of the broken, the beaten, and the damned? Will you defeat them? Your demons?
Your demons?
And all the non-believers? And the plans that they have made?
Oh,
and then
my
I
God.
Said, Dad, this is a lot. I thought we were just getting ice cream. I'm pretty sure somebody made that joke already. I'm certain that I've stolen that, but I can't help it.
Oh,
it's like,
God.
Ah, you're, that is... It's a kind of a tall order, Pop. And you kind of just said that you die one day, and I don't really know how to process that. So
I'm like 12. Like, can we?
I don't even know if I have object permanence yet. So
I hope you have object permanence by the time you're 12. Developmentally, you would be very far behind.
My dad still plays peekaboo and I still get shocked every time.
Oh god. Dude, you know what's crazy is because we're not like really editing this down, this is our longest podcast to date, because at most we cut 5 minutes of this.
Yeah,
at very most. So this is our longest podcast, but you know, it's fun, and I think up front people will know, you know, this is different. So, you know, we do hope this tides you over a little bit while we work on Fevers and Mirrors. We could have rushed it, but we decided to really go in and really push for that album. So, you know, if you did stick around, you enjoyed this, we definitely will do more of this, because you said it, I think maybe before we started recording, or maybe it was right in the beginning. It's been so long. Who can remember? it is a very stressful time for both of us. So writing down all of our thoughts about an album, you know, listening to it multiple times, finding a time where we're both free, trying to record it all in one or two sessions, and then editing it or four, right. And then editing it is very challenging. So, these little stop gaps will definitely help. And at least it's some content for people to, check out and keep an eye on. So, format might change, but I don't know. I had a lot of fun. It has a different vibe, this kind of, you know, just chatting about songs rather than going in depth, but I definitely prefer the going in depth for the Bright Eye stuff.
Yeah, certainly for the Bright Eye stuff, I prefer going in depth, but like, I did enjoy just kind of shooting the shit and, you know, I thought that the Spotify thing was really interesting. And I think the next one we should do like maybe a theme or something like similar to what you said of like, maybe an emotionally engaging song. Or, right. You know, who knows? Maybe if you folks have some suggestions, we'd be interested to hear if you've got like some themes or ideas for what we could do for the next one of these.
Where would they let us know?
Oh, they can let us know all sorts of places. We're on that dang heckin' Twitter. We're on the Instagram. Mm.
The Instagrams.
We are on Reddit.
We are on the Reddits.
We are on the Reddits.
Yeah, for sure. Chat us up.
Yeah.
What's up?
I don't know.
Just a couple of late 20s guys, single and looking for love. We're cutting that one.
Listen, if you've managed to endure almost 2 hours of us geeking out over some songs, I mean, you've already done.
How like does half 2 years of our, sound?
How does, and I get down on one knee, the rest of your life sound? And I take out a ring.
Beautiful.
It's amazing.
It's like one of those awful, like, TikTok POVs.
POV, oh God.
You are an onion ring.
Oh, right. I mean, I was going to say, I thought it was like one of those awful times when you're at a restaurant and then you're just like trying to enjoy a meal. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. So a couple of years ago, there was this thing called a restaurant. And it was a place where you can publicly go and eat food without something covering your face.
I'm sorry. Jesse, do you know what a TikTok POV is?
I have to be honest. I don't use TikTok.
I don't use it either. But, you know, I know the culture because I'm well informed. That's part of my job. I don't know how to explain it. That's off podcast. If you don't know what it is and you're listening to the podcast, Google it. If you're into that sort of thing, cool. You know, I'm not one to shame people for their interests. No, it is not.
Can it be a sex thing?
Yes, it can.
Okay. Like anything, it can be a sex thing.
It can be. No, yeah, if that's your thing, you do you. But yeah, not getting into that. We're already approaching almost 2 hours of recording time. So I don't know. Any last thoughts? I think we kind of did most of our wrap up, but
I left a pause there real quick because you said any last thoughts. And I'm curious if you do we have a Spotify account for Connor's Basement? Because maybe we can start putting up mixtapes, like playlists. And if we do this kind of thing, yes. We can be like, oh yeah, here's Jesse's top two, here's Chris's top two, and then we can just also
very
put,
good
like,
idea.
Yeah. So do you want me to do a pause and do that more naturally?
No.
Okay, cool. I actually really like the, I think we should also leave in the pause and let the people know like how we, this is what we
this
do.
This is how it, yeah, you are seeing the sausage being made right yes. now.
You're seeing all of these delicious giblets be ground into a nice, delicious paste and then stuffed into a casing.
I'm still trying to catch this mosquito, man. It's not going well.
just,
but yeah, no, I
just
think,
search
I think...
female mosquito, or no, search sexy mosquito. Sexy and then put an image of a sexy mosquito on your screen, and it'll fly straight to it.
True. That works in the cartoons.
It does.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good idea. Putting this stuff, making a playlist or something on our Spotify account. We'll look into doing that and link it out. That sounds good. But yeah, anything else, man?
No, thanks everybody for joining Chris and I. I hope you all enjoyed listening to us talk about these songs as much as we enjoyed chatting about them. I had a blast.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thanks again to our patrons, Goldie, Lad, and hi, Mom. How are you? Doing good, I hope. Talk to you soon. I'll send you a text message, keep you updated on my life. Anyway.
What a good son.
Anyway, yeah, you know, I'm kind of the best anyway. who's getting the last word?
We could fight over
it. It's me.